And while you're being seated, we're going to go to Hebrews 11, verse 1. And I know y'all have read this in your Christian life 432 million times, maybe. But what I wanted to name this teaching is faith versus presumption. I've done a teaching like this years ago, not this type here, but the same type title. Okay, now faith versus presumption, and you know, naturally when we go to Revive or we go or we have a speaker in, I always try to hear the voice in the voice. So I was going to write it, put up here, faith versus presumption, we better know the difference. Okay, we better know the difference. All right, I'm going to read the scripture from the ESV. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. We've heard this over and over and over again, and I think what happens is we lose the depth meaning of what faith really is. Assurance is a state of being, of assured. A state of being is not state of mind. State of being is your spirit, soul, and body actively being assured, which is the confidence of what Yahweh said He will do, He will do. That's that mustard seed faith. Remember? The thing about a mustard seed is a mustard seed, you can't cross that with any other seed. It will destroy anything that tries to come into its domain. Like if you was going to take an apple and an orange and you come up with, I think the evangelist here, it was an orpal. You know how he said that, how you can mix different and you can cross-pollinate and breed and all that kind of stuff, but you can't a mustard seed. It will destroy anything. So that's why Yeshua said we have to have mustard seed faith, is because it will destroy any kind of fear or anything that comes in contact with it. That's why we have to have it. Because you're either going to walk in faith or you're going to walk in fear. And most of the time when we walk in fear, it's always the fear of man. Okay? So faith versus presumption. So assurance is the confidence that we have to have that whatever Yahweh says He's going to do, He's going to do. The next part is conviction is also a state of being convinced of what Yahweh said He's going to do, He's going to do. Okay? That's what faith is we have to have the assurance and the conviction to know that whatever He tells us He's going to do, He's going to do. It's not for us to make it happen, it's for Him to make it happen. It's for us to walk in obedience. That's what faith is about. Presumption. Presumption is the idea taken to be true, although it is not known for certain. And a lot of people operate under presumption. They take an idea that's true, but they're not really sure or not really certain if it is true or not. Because what is faith? Faith is believing things that you can't see. But you have to know that Yahweh's word is true. And look, faith is knowing that when He parted the Red Sea, that sea was not going to collapse on them when they were going through it. That's what they had to know for certain, that when they went through there, that the Father was going to deliver them. Remember how many times we've talked about this, and you go through the scriptures? The very act that delivers Israel usually destroys the enemy. So don't be afraid of the act. Don't be afraid of the earthquake. Don't be afraid of the tornado. Don't be afraid of whatever the Father chooses to deliver you. Because that same act He usually uses to destroy the enemy. He doesn't have to create another way to do it. So with that, how to use Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu against a bear. Okay? Now where's Daniel at? Is Daniel back there? He does Jiu-Jitsu and all of that. So he can tell me, is this faith or is this presumption? So first thing, if you ever go to Brazil and you come in contact with a bear, this is your steps of action. Okay, the first thing you do is when it attacks, you duck and you shoot in. Okay, y'all getting this? Duck and shoot in. It's important. The next one. Then you take to its back. Daniel, and we're getting pretty good. You shoot in, you take to its back. You get around the bear on its back. It won't be able to reach you with its short arms. So this is why you shoot in, you maneuver, you get on its back, and now it can't reach you with its short arms. Go for a rear neck choke. So now you put your, if you can get around its neck, you get around there and you choke him. All right, when the bear passes out, it will fall forward, and you did it. Now snap out of your fantasy and realize you died somewhere between around step two. Amen. Faith or presumption? You can probably talk to Daniel, who knows jiu-jitsu, however you say that. Snap out of it. So when we are in the scriptures, faith is assurance and the very conviction. It's confidence that we know that the Father will honor His word, so we can walk out in that. Presumption is an idea taken to be true, although we're not really certain that it is true. And that is a huge difference. So let's go to Joshua chapter 1, since we had our bear lesson. You know, we were talking about a couple of weeks ago in 2 Corinthians 6, we were talking about not being unequally yoked with an unbeliever. And it says, what does righteousness have with Torahlessness or lawlessness? And it went on in what accord, what partnership, and all of that. And this really stems to us in everything that we do. Everything that we do, we need to pray. Everything that we need to do. It's important when Proverbs says, man plans his ways and Yahweh directs his paths. But if we have no plan, there is no directing of paths. And we're going to see this in Scripture. Paul even tells us that all of the Scripture, and he wasn't talking about Matthew to Revelation because it wasn't written yet. When Paul was doing his letters to the congregations, the New Testament wasn't written then. These were just letters that were going out. So the scriptures that he was talking about was from Genesis to Malachi. So he's talking about these scriptures, and everything that happened to Israel was for our examples, that we would not have this idea that we could take on a bear with jiu-jitsu. Amen? And so he tells us many times what to do and what not to do, and he's given us plenty of examples for that. So in Joshua, I just want to go through the first few verses just to show you something about Joshua. Chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, Yahweh said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, it says, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all of this people, into a land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Right there is a promise. He's saying, you're going to go over, you're going to possess this land that I am giving to the people of Israel. That's a promise. Okay, that's a promise. That's his word. That's not presumption, that's a word. That's what he's telling you. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I will give to you. Just as I promised to Moses. That's another promise. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Hittites, and the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. That's another promise. He's promising them, and he's even mapping it out for him so that they won't forget exactly what did the Father give us. Everywhere your foot trotted, he's going to give to you. And look at the next promise. No man shall be able to stand before you for how long? All the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. That's a promise. He said, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I have sworn to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Now, all these promises that he give them is going to be hinging off of something now. Be careful to do according to the New Testament that Moses hadn't even heard of. No. He says, be careful to do all the law, all the Torah that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Now we see the promises have a condition, and the condition is obedience. Being obedience. Remember what we talk about here? We know that Yeshua, our Messiah, He died for our sins. He shed His blood. He took our place, and we took His place. Amen. That's what redemption is about. That's what propitiation, that's what that's about. It had to satisfy the wrath of Yahweh. His blood satisfied that. So He took our S and He put an R on our chest for righteousness, and He took our S off of our chest. It's not Superman, it was sin, and it stuck it on His chest. He took our place. We know that. But guess what? Grace gets you in the house. Obedience keeps you in the house. This is what I think the congregations, they seem to forget, that we get in the house, but how do you stay there? You come in Father's house, but there's obedience that keeps you there, because there's rules that He has for us. Love Father, love your neighbor. You know, we've been talking a lot about fruit. We've been talking about growing. I mean, it's important for these farmers, if they put a grain of corn in the ground, that they can expect by faith that corn's going to grow. That they're not surprised with some kind of squash or something. You know what I mean? That they can really trust. Now, what happens? Faith in that area of knowing from a farmer that if he takes a grain of corn and puts it in there, he's assured and convicted. I mean, he's convinced that corn's coming up because he's done it over and over. Faith will also have experience with it. Wisdom is experience to know that once you walk this. But why do we walk this and then all of a sudden in our life something else comes to us and we just boom, like we've never walked in faith before. We've conquered this and this, and He's done many, many things. And then also something happens a little bit different. If Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, so now all of a sudden something that seems of light hits you sideways, and now we're all confused. We just need to step back, something that Joshua didn't do, step back and pray. Step back and gather yourself, go before your king, take a deep breath, and the Father will be glad to show you. If there is a hidden situation, He will bring it to light. Amen. Now let me share something with you, since we've been talking a little bit about farming, because this is of the utmost importance. You take one kernel of corn. We've said this here many times. You put it in the ground. Does one kernel come out of the ground? No. It usually there's what? Maybe 3 ears at least, 3 ears that will be on a stalk. Can y'all help me here? I'm not a farmer, so I don't know. 2 ears will be on a stalk. Okay, let's say 2 ears is on a stalk. So if I sow a good seed, then whatever I sow is going to grow. Now, how many kernels is usually on a ear of corn? 613. That's a good presumption, but that's not right. It's probably around 120. I like that, though. It's probably around 120. So if you sow one seed, and this is a promise, does He not say that we reap what we sow? If you sow one good seed, fruit grows from that. First, you have the stalk and everything, and you have everything that goes with it. But think about it. If there's 120 kernels, and you have 2 ears, you have 240 blessings that can come your way. You plant one, you do your job, and you have 240 blessings come your way. But here's the thing. What if you sow a bad seed? Same thing. If you sow a bad seed, it's coming up out of the ground. But you know what we have with Yeshua? We can pray for crop failure. Because it's only Him, and by His grace, through repentance, can he destroy that bad seed that we planted? Because when you plant it, it's coming up. And Holy Ghost Roundup, you better spray it on there. Because the deal is when it comes up, do you want to? People, so many times I've seen this. Now let me ask you this. If you plant the seed today, does it come up tomorrow? It takes time. How long does it usually take? Somebody? 10 to 12 days. When do you get your corn? 10 to 12 days? 90 days later. Why am I saying this? It's because of what Brian said. Everything is related in the Scriptures to agriculture. It's because they were agricultural people. Now understand this. He's telling you something. So if you plant a seed, you will reap more than you sow. But what else is he telling you? You're going to reap it in a different season than you sow. You don't sow it today and reap it tomorrow. You sow it today, and all of a sudden, life is good. And we get hammered because something happens to us, and we want to say, what happened? What happened? And I've learned this from Tammy's dad. He taught me, first thing you do is you go back and you ask the Father, what did you do 3 months ago? Did you plant something 3 months ago that allowed this to grow in your life? And if you did, you're going to have to now deal with it. Repent, do what you need to deal with it. But a lot of times we as people, we will go and we will do something, we will sow a bad seed, and then we'll totally forget about it. We may make a stab of telling the Father that we're sorry, but we don't repent. And then all of a sudden, something in our lives, it starts growing over here, and we're like, Satan did this. No, Satan didn't do this. You did this in a different season. That's the reason why I'm trying to, in this message, teach us that if something weird or goofy or whatever you want to call it goes on in your life, stop, pray, and ask the Father, was there something that I planted that was bad seed a few days ago, a few months ago? I promise you he will answer you. And just like a neon light in your prayer time, I promise you it will be revealed. It happens every time. A lot of times what we do is we blame the devil for something that he has no business. We're giving him glory for way too much stuff. We do. We just give him way too much glory. And so the thing is for us, because a lot of times we don't really know when we come up to a situation if it's really true or not. But instead of praying and asking and seeking, Father, is this true? Is this real? What am I to do here? We just say, well, you know what? The idea, man, everything's lining up. It seems to be good, but I'm not absolutely sure. And then we dive off in it. Why do we dive off in it? We usually dive off in it is because really my flesh wants it to be true. I really want this to happen. I really want this deal. I really want this. I really want that. I want this. And then all of a sudden, if we would pray, the Father can either tell us yes or no. And that's so, so important. So now, with the Scriptures here, he says in verse 7, he says, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do all according to the law that Moses, my servant, command you. Do not turn to the right or to the left, that you may have good success in whatever you do. So success is dependent on following his laws and commandments. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. How long shall we meditate on it? Day and night. So that we may be careful to do all according that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. He says, then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. So faith is a state of being in this process. Have not I commanded you, verse 9, be strong and be courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for Yahweh your Elohim is with you wherever you go. And this promise was given to them if they would not turn to the left or right. Now, let's go to Joshua 7, verse 1. Now, this is a hard pill to swallow. And this pill is probably about this big, but we're going to try to get it down, okay? Because remember what we talked about in here a couple of weeks ago? The Father sees you as a body. He doesn't see you as an individual. He sees you as a body. He sees us as a temple. Just like these stones. He sees us as individual stones placed. Some of them are different sizes, but we're all here to do the same thing, is the same purpose, is to be a house, to be His house, so that He would be glorified and that He can live in. That's what we are living stones, okay? I know that in this Western world that we've been raised in our mindset, in churchianity, is this, that we're individuals. It's me, and my God's got my own thing going. It's always been this way. In Eastern mindset, it was never the case. It was always Israel. It was always what Israel was doing. It was always what the people, he taught them, and they knew that they had to walk as a community and a body. This is so foreign to us because sometimes we just don't like our neighbor. Y'all can smile. I mean, the truth's the truth. He says we have to love our neighbor. Sometimes that's hard to do. But first, I need to make sure, am I a neighbor that's hard to love? I need to start there before I start judging other people. But what we do, we've been raised in a society. I mean, if you haven't watched the news, don't. But I'm telling you, our whole society is nuts on steroids. I can't tell what a cashew and a peanut is anymore. I'm just telling you, this whole, I mean, right is, we used to teach this. I mean, we'd be, you know, fired up, Holy Ghost, jumping backflips and all that stuff. Talking about it back in the 80s and the 90s, we were saying one day this is going to happen. It's happened. It's here. You talking about right is wrong and wrong is right? We only talked about it back in the 80s. But now it is on us. When you have, in California, I think y'all might have known they had the law over there that they're in some of the books and all that to where pastors are now having problems being able to minister about homosexuality. They got to be careful the way they minister it through a pulpit that's not hate speech. The thing about it is I'm not saying anything. I'm just reading this word. If you want to send somebody to court, go get God. Go get Yahweh. Pull Him in there. Subpoena Him. It's His word. We're just ministering His word. If He says that it's an abomination, it's an abomination. I didn't write this book. I'm not the author of this book. I mean, I know that there's a chapter and it says the Gospel of Mark, but that ain't me. That's Him. That ain't me. I don't know the man. You know what I'm saying? Don't subpoena me. I mean, I'm as a pastor and as a shepherd, and not to be in Jeremiah where it says, woe to the shepherds because they would not. Amen. I don't want to be one of them woe twos. You know what I'm saying? So this is the word. This is the way it is. If you want to subpoena somebody, subpoena Him. He wrote the book. You know, we're here to enforce what we know because we are His kids. We're His children. But with that said, because this is a mindset that we've got to change as a people, because a lot of times we do things and we do things, well, I'm only going to hurt myself. Remember what we talked about, we've been talking about? Our decisions don't affect just us. Our decisions affects a lot of people a lot of times. And we don't even realize it or we don't even know it. I mean, I would like to know if I stump my toe. My foot's the only thing that hurts. But sometimes when you do that spiritually or you do that in a relationship or your life, it affects families. It affects husband, wives, children, in-laws, cross-laws, upper laws, below laws, all of it. It just affects all kind of people, friends, neighbors. And it's very important. And the reason why I believe that is, now we're talking about faith here. Now, I was really stunned by how this was used here, talking about faith, because every one of us believe faith is an individual thing. It is individual, but it's corporate first. Because look what he said. Verse 1 in chapter 7. But the people of Israel broke faith. The people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, I don't know who that guy is. The son of, some of you Hebrew guys, help me out. Zabdi, and Zerah, I got that one, and Judah, took some of the devoted things, and the anger of Yahweh burned against the people of Israel. When Achan did what he did, It said Israel broke faith. Do you see the Father, what he's doing, I believe, in this place, is he's teaching us that we are all connected. We're all connected to the garden. In that garden, there were many different trees planted, but they were all there to serve the purpose for the Father. And that's what we are. We are trees planted in his garden, and we're there to produce fruit. But guys, it is on us to produce the good fruit that others may eat. Because he is sitting here. Yahweh judged Israel for one man's taking devoted things. A lot of people don't realize, but this is when they crossed the Jordan, what was the first place they went to? Jericho. And he says, do not take anything from Jericho. Everything there belongs to me. And why did he say that? He gave them everything else. He said, every time you go everywhere else, you can have the spoils. But this you can't have. It's the principle of first fruits. In other words, the first belongs to the Father. We do Rosh Kodesh. That's why we bring our first fruits. First fruits belong to the Father. They don't belong to us. And so the very first that they conquered was Jericho. And he says, this is mine. Everything in it belongs to me. But Achan probably thought that, you know, the Father's rich, you know, and he ain't going to miss this. He takes an item and he's going to miss it. Yes. The accursed things, yeah.
I think they were taking pagan.
He did. He took an idol.
Yeah.
That's right. But the thing is, but he was told not to take anything. He did take an accursed thing. And so he, and what does he think? He says, well, you know what? This is on me. This is on me. But guess what? Yahweh says, Israel has sinned. Israel has sinned. Because of this, we already know because we jumped a lot of chapters, because they had a great victory against Jericho, they didn't even worry about Ai. They slew a giant, now they were going after a midget. And they said, we can handle this. And they got routed by Ai. Joshua is trying to figure out what's going on here. And this is what the end result is because Joshua, now why am I saying this and why am I using this is because in everything I want us to do, I don't want us to presume on him. I don't want us to presume that things are going good and because life is going good and there's a lot of victories in your life, that you're going to get a victory tomorrow. You need to pray and you need to ask because you may be going into a situation that you don't need to be going into. Amen. It may look good, it may smell good, and all of the above. But remember, he said, don't eat of the tree of knowledge of what? Good and evil. Everything good is not God. Understand what I'm saying? So that's why we need to pray, and he wants us to communicate with him every day. He wants us to be active in every decision in our life. Look, guys, don't think you're bothering him. He can multitask. Okay? He's good at that. He can multitask. If he's telling us to meditate on his word day and night and talk to, when we sit, when we rise, and he's sort of like in tune with all of us. Amen. He can do that. I know we get bothered when we got too many people talking in our ears, but he doesn't have that problem. So we need to communicate. If Joshua would have communicated, he would have. Look, people lost their lives. People, remember we talked about, what was that? We were talking about one guy sinned and they lost all their lives. We talked about Korah. They sinned and they lost a lot of lives. Oh, it was the 10 spies. Remember the 10 spies? 10 men came back with an evil report. And who died? The whole generation. We figured out that whole generation was probably 1 million or so people died. Because of 10 people come back. Because he said, everything that they went in, remember in the land, they went in there, and everything they came back and told the people was the truth. But you know what? Before they even went in there, Yahweh told them, the land is flowing with milk and honey. It is, I mean, it's awesome. And you know what? There's fortified people in there. There's soldiers in there. There's armies in there. He said, the whole reason why I didn't bring you by this way, I brought you around, was because I knew you was going to get all worked up whenever I was going to bring you by the quick way, and the Amorites were there. You're going to get all nervous on me after all of these miracles that he did in Egypt, and he destroyed the Egyptians. And then he's got MS-13 gang over there, and then you're scared of them. We as a people aren't any different. And this is where we have to be so locked in to him in everything that we do. So we see that Joshua did not pray. So now he's praying all the way up to verse 10. And he's crying out. He's on his face. He's crying out. And Yahweh said to Joshua, my poor servant, my poor baby. He said, get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Now mine has get up with a ball and a bat. Exclamation point. In other words, he sort of like probably hollered at him a little bit. I've never had the father to holler at me, but boy, I'd hate to have that to happen. He says, Israel has sinned and they're transgressed, and they have transgressed my covenant that I have commanded them. Remember all the promises? He said, all of these promises will be yours if you will just obey my word. But they did not obey. One man didn't obey, and he brought all of this down on the people. 10 spies didn't obey, brought out a bad report, and a whole generation of people died. Guys, we got to get this, and we've been talking about this for a few weeks. We got to know that our decisions don't affect just us. We have to really get home, because I'm telling you, your decisions can affect your children. It can affect your children for times to come. People make bad decisions, and the next thing you know, they're in 20 years in prison. You don't think that affects somebody? All because of a habit, or they can't kick this or kick that. And they have children that's left to deal with this. People not taking care of what they need to take care of, and then you got single parents everywhere trying to raise their children, you know, because there's not a father in the home. Look at what's going on because of that. It's called what? It's the fruit of what's going on, of what's been sown. But you know what? And here I'll say this again, and we'll blame the devil for all of that. But we as mankind, the body of Messiah has failed the people. What did Yahweh say? He said, if my people, he didn't say if all the heathen in the world would repent, but he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. And we're sitting up here saying, man, life is good. I'm going to Shabbat. I'm going to church every week. I'm doing all these things. But yet he called on the believers, you know, guys, because we're witnesses. We're his witnesses in this earth. We are ambassadors. We have responsibility. He gave Adam responsibility in this earth to have dominion over it. And you know what we do? We just give it to the government. We give it to everybody else to let them take care of our problems. And you know what? He's not going to let up. And we can sit here, but he did say this for us. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent, then we will hear from him. And that's what we have to do as a body of Messiah. Yeshua is at the right hand of the Father doing something today. What is he doing? He's interceding. He said, go to the Father in my name. We go to the Father in his name. We're keeping Yeshua busy. Amen. We're keeping him busy doing his job, because he's making intercession for us. He never slumbers asleep. We get tired, we fall out for a 10-minute nap. He never has that ability to do that. He is proactive in our lives in everything that we do. And it's just like the testimonies that started out. Do we really love our neighbor that much? You know, can we treat, like Brian said, can we nurture that plant? How we would take a plant. I know Jeremiah and Tiffany, they're growing all kind of stuff up there. They got stuff growing on top of their house and out the trunk of the car and everything. You know what I'm saying? But I go over there and visit and watch. He nurtures in things. Now, I think I don't know if he's played a guitar to one of them or not, sang to one of them yet, but he nurtures them. He talks to them. You know, Doug did that teaching a couple of years ago, and it was something about a bag of rice. He had one they was doing, playing negative music or talking negatively, and all the rice turned brown, you know, and that's not the good brown rice. So it is, well, we said this a few weeks ago. Remember this. It takes 32 positives to overcome one negative. Do you think that that's amazing, that if somebody speaks something negative in your life, it takes 32 positives to overcome that? Whoever said sticks and stones, but words will never hurt me, that dude lied. You know what I'm saying? He just lied. Because most people are affected by words. Why? Because Yahweh said it in from eternity, because he says the power, there's life and death where? In the power of the tongue. There's life and death there. So yeah, you would want to nurture your plants. You would talk, and I know we do. You know, I said this a long time ago. I said, remember, I don't know, I'm going to do it again, hopefully, Roy. Roy and Nancy. But I said this, if you took Roy, and if Roy took his wife and their dog and put him in the trunk for an hour, whenever he opened it up, who's happy to see him? The dog. The dog's sitting there doing that, but I can promise you, Nancy ain't wagging. She'd be wagging her tongue. But that's what I'm saying. So the thing about it is, but have you ever noticed that a dog, our dogs, I mean, people mistreat, but they'll come back loving. It's amazing. But really and truly, our words are of the utmost importance of everything that we do and everything that we say. So powerful. So anyway, verse 11, 12, and 13, I'll finish up with this. It says, Israel has sinned, for they have transgressed my covenant, which I've commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings. And I will tell you this here, bar probably none of us here. And if you're different, then polish your halo, okay? But I can guarantee you, if we would have been sitting there, most of us would have defended ourselves and said, I ain't stole anything, I ain't lied, I don't even know what you're talking about. We would have tried to defend us. But the reason is because that's the way we think. But Father sees us as a body. That's why he says, can the arm say to the eye and the leg and the toenail and all of that? We're all part of a body and we all function together. And it's all of the utmost importance how we function. The Father sees us that way. We got to learn to see ourselves that way and operate that way. It says, therefore, the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. This is why the body of Messiah is weak. If they couldn't stand before their enemies because of sin in the camp, don't think we can. It says they turn their backs before their enemies because they have become devoted for destruction. I will be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. Then he said this, get up, consecrate the people and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. And thus says Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, they are devoted things in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the devoted things from among you. And I wrote down here, consecrate means to make holy and to dedicate for a higher purpose. And we are, guys, we have to realize this. If we've accepted Yeshua as our Lord and Savior, we are a set apart being. We are set apart for a higher purpose. We no longer are allowed to do the things of the lower nature. We do. And if we do, we need to repent and get back. But you know, he didn't say he really said, consecrate yourself. They had to go and do something before they could enter back into his presence. I think today, people just do things. I'm sorry. We go back and try to flow back in and out of his presence. But we have to take it very serious, because in that day, in this end, and I'm going to close with this. I say this all the time. There's 10 virgins. They were all virgins. But five of them was knocking on the door. Now you tell me how that works. Because five were wise and five were foolish. Five were not prepared. Five were riding on coattails. Five just thought that. But it's just so important for us as a body of believers. I'm really thankful for His Word. I'm thankful for you guys in this community. Because I really sense and feel the presence of that you guys love one another. You guys step up to the plate when somebody's in need. This community, I just want to say it again. And it goes out to you and your prayers. And you really taking a chance on loving your neighbor. Because a lot of times people, they come here, they're hurt. They get hurt wherever they were at. There's scars. There's all kind of stuff that happened. And for you to, and most time when you come here, there's a wall up. But you know what? Most people has let that wall down and you become transparent again. And that's what it takes. The Father wants us to, the wood that was used in the tabernacle had to be stripped of its bark. Whenever we accept Him, we have to be stripped of that outer bark, that our what wants to protect us. We have to lay bare so He can overlay us with gold. Because we can't be used until He strips that outer layer. Then He can overlay us with His deity. Then we can function in the tabernacle like we're supposed to function. Amen? Amen.
I want to share something real quick before the announcements that I think is something the Father is speaking to us. A few years ago, He, during our Pesach season, gave us a theme that me must become we. And we kind of did the flipping the M into a W, me must become we. And He's been building this concept that we do need one another because our whole culture grooms us and gives us the idea that we are independent instead of interdependent on one another. And so He's breaking down these concepts and these walls in each of us as we go along. So one thing that we do help people with, and there's something called social anxiety, and it's a very, very real thing, and it's something that's going on in worldwide. A lot of people have that now. And I just feel like that as we renew our minds to the truth and to the Word of Elohim, and we start visualizing things as they were designed in the garden, then some of the reasons and thoughts that we have about things will no longer be part of it. And here's something, I might say something that may totally blow your theology for a minute, but if you'll hang with me, you'll see what I'm saying. In the garden, when He created Adam, and He breathed in him life-giving spirit, the Ruach, and He was to name all the animals, so there's the animals in Him, and would you just believe that Yahweh was there with Adam in the garden? You know what? Our Creator said to him, there is not a helper suitable here for you. Now, wouldn't you think that if Yahweh was enough for Adam, that He would not have told them that it is not good for man to be alone? That's the phrase I want to focus on. It is not good for man to be alone. I'm not alone. I have you. Because what I was taught is me and Jesus got our own thing going. It's Christ and Christ alone. It is for redemption. Don't get me wrong. But what He, from the garden, designed us to do was to be fruitful and multiply. Because it's not good for man to be alone. And all my life, I visualized that as a domesticated, you know, having babies. Now, having babies is what helps us to become one another. But what I see from that in the garden principle, when He said it is not good for man to be alone, so be fruitful and multiply, that if He was all we needed, He would not have said that. What He wants us to have is a visible manifestation of Him on this earth through His people. Amen? Because it shows forth the kingdom principle. So we've got to get not only focused this way, but we've got to focus both ways that heaven and earth connects. What we've done is we've lobbed it off, and we're either completely earthly and carnal, or we're completely heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. But what He's saying is, body, I want you to wake up and I want you to be a connector of me on this earth, and I've designed you to need one another. Because I want a bunch of you. I don't want just one person. You get what I'm saying? Good. So with that, if we can understand from the garden that He's designed us to need one another, then when we really don't want to be around people, overcome it. He didn't design me like this. You know, that's faith. What's presumption is to plant a corn and keep saying, tomatoes are going to come up there, tomatoes are going to come up there. I just believe tomatoes, you are coming up from there. Not if you planted corn. But if he has designed us and planted us in this earth to reproduce him and to be image bearers of him and to be connected to people, then when we don't want to be around people, get defiant in the face of the lie and say, no, I am designed to be like this. And I just wonder, I'm not presumptuously speaking this, I just wonder then, would some of our social anxiety be healed because we're renewing our mind to the way he designed us to be? Amen.
Amen. The glory of